Allen, and it's approximately 8:27 Eastern Standard Time. And what's today, the 11th?
Yeah.
Okay,
May
and
11th.
This is the 11th of May, and this is the Pacifica Affiliates Task Force meeting. And the people on the call are Ursula Rudenberg, Teresa Allen, Sean, what is your last name?
Rhodes.
Sean Rhodes, and Dina Colbert. And some other people may be joining us. I sent out an agenda, and does anyone else have it in front of them?
Yes, I do.
We're now called to order. We've taken attendance. Do we have any additions or corrections to the agenda tonight? Hearing none. Does anyone want to move that we approve the minutes of 4:11? They were attached to the meeting notice that went out to the committee.
I move. So.
Okay. Are there any objections to approving the minutes of 4:11:06? Hearing none. The minutes.
I'm the one that wrote the minutes, but John. John Almella pointed out to me that, in fact, I neglected to mention that we did have a discussion about whether to stream or not, so I just wanted to make a note of that.
Okay, so, you know, as a matter of fact, I think I see a typo also, because it says, meeting of the Affiliates Task Force, April 13 to 2006. Do we meet on the 11th or the 13th of April? The 13th was a Thursday.
We met on a Thursday.
Okay.
Yeah. We met on the 13th.
Pardon me?
We met on the 13th.
Right. The minutes say 4:13, but on our agenda today it says the approved minutes of 4:11:06. So we'll get that.
Right. It was 4:13.
So are you saying you want something put on the agenda to discuss whether we stream, or how does that have to do? What does that have to do with
the minutes? No, I just want to make a note that in the minutes it was neglected to say that we did have a discussion about streaming.
Okay.
And there were some concerns raised about it, but I don't think it's like I just wanted to note that actually was neglected. I mean, was not included in the minutes.
Okay, well, unless we actually took a definitive action where we took a vote and decided yes, we would, or no, we wouldn't, we really don't have to put that in the minutes.
Okay.
So is there any objection to the approving the minutes of the 13th of April?
No.
Okay. 6 approved. Okay. So I'm going down the... You were going to report on the NFCB, Ursula and Dina.
Okay. Dina, you want to start?
Sure. NFCB was really good this year for many different reasons. There was a really nice turnout of affiliates at the meeting, and I certainly want to congratulate Ursula. There were three conflicting meetings at the same time that the affiliate meeting was happening, so we felt that we were going to lose a lot of our affiliates to those meetings. Low Powered had its own meeting scheduled at the same time. The Northwest Regional had its own meeting scheduled at the same time, and those are all our affiliates. So we were really pleased that 40 people showed up, and I really would like to congratulate Ursula. She did a great job organizing the meeting. Rip and Yvonne did a good job in talking to the affiliates. And Ursula, during the entire conference, had scheduled Greg Gumo with a lot of affiliate managers and groups, which she can talk about, which was very helpful, I think, for Greg. And three station managers of the sister station showed up, and that was really useful also, and very supportive. And the affiliate meeting went so well that I noted that Carol Pearson, who's the president and executive director of NFCB, and Ginny Pearson, who's the vice president, both came to the meeting and participated, and that's it's not new because I know Ginny was there last year, but it's very supportive, and so I think that all in all, it was a great event, and Ursula can tell you more.
Yeah, I think it was not only supportive of it, but I think it was kind of it kind of was symbolic of the fact that they felt that this was important enough for them to actually take time out from their organizing to attend this meeting, that they felt that the Civic Network had become an important enough part of the community radio, you know, community that they felt they should be there. So it was really pretty exciting to see that they were there. Plus, there were some other stations there that weren't affiliates who wanted to, you know, see what it was about, and they
like KBOO.
Yeah, like KBOO, and they were very enthusiastic afterwards. So that was really heartening. I think, you know, in broad strokes, my sense was that. That, you know, these conferences, and I really, since we are being recorded, I would like to say for the record that it's very disappointing that nobody except Sean, you know, came to this meeting after the NFCB meeting. I mean, I'm eliminating Dina and Teresa because they've actually already spoken with me, and Dina was there. But this is really probably the most significant and a public event that the affiliates program has during the year, and so kind of this is like the one time we really have a lot to report, and I'm very sorry that other people didn't show up for it, and thank you for showing up, Sean.
Oh, you're welcome.
Well, we'll put him to work.
Well, if you're serious about that, then I will do the work.
And you know, I want to say something which is sort of a sidebar, but I think it's relevant for certainly for Pacifica as a whole. And it would be good to go on record again, but I have a radio show called City Watch on WBAI, and on Wednesday morning of the conference, I interviewed Carol Pearson from NFCB, and one of the questions I asked her was, I think, important for Pacifica listeners and board members to hear.
Excuse me, Dina.
Yeah.
Let me interject here. Ursula, I'm taking minutes. Is that okay?
That's great. Thank you.
All right. So if I ask you some questions, it's because I'm going to put some of these things in the report. Okay.
Thank
go
you.
Ahead, Dina.
Thank you, Teresa.
Okay. I just wanted to say that my question to her was that I had a sense of what WBAI and Pacifica stood for, but since she meets with Congress, with the FCC, with, you know, governmental agencies, what did they think of Pacifica? And she said Pacifica is in big trouble. They want to shut it down. And and so you can go on to City Watch. It was, 2 weeks ago? And listen to the interview. And you'll hear her say that. And I think it's very important because she said, you know, it was a warning. It was a definite warning. Mm-hmm. So I am saying that publicly because yeah. I think it's an important message.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So in terms of kind of broad conclusions that
Let me ask one question. Okay. What is care? It's Pearson,
P-E-I-E-R.
And what is her title?
She's the president and executive director of NFCB.
Okay, thank you.
My sense of coming away this year, that the NFCB conference is always kind of the barometer, and whatever happens at this conference tends to resonate for the rest of the year, tends to have a way of defining the buzz about Pacifica for the rest of the year, and so my sense this time around was that that somehow that we have in a way reached some sort of critical mass to begin to make a transition from, you know, a former persona that we had of a troubled net.
Are you there? Hello?
Yeah.
Okay.
Hello?
Go ahead.
Hello?
You said Pacific has reached a critical mass.
Oh, hold on just a minute. I'll be right back.
In the middle of a sentence.
We have reached a critical mass from a troubled network.
We're moving from what I think was a situation that we were struggling with of being, you know, a troubled network and a network where people were still deciding whether they should or shouldn't be part of this. And I think we've taken, in a way, a definitive step away from that position and have become, you know, much more something that is really a network that's coming together now.
When you said whether people were deciding to what?
So whether they wanted to be part of this network or not, whether they could
when
trust
station them. Managers they've been hesitant and pessimistic for many years now, and I would support what Ursula is saying.
You felt the pessimism was gone, right?
Well, I think another way of saying it is that the affiliate that Ursula as a coordinator with Pete as the webmaster have produced a very strong base foundation upon which stations want to participate. They have the audio port, which is very important. You know, we stream a lot of programs that have been relevant from Washington. Greg Gumma spoke very positively to the affiliates and made them feel a part of a network rather than something that Pacifica is offering to them. And I think that's really what came to be was the balance between the two. We're becoming more balanced on the national front at NFCB and I think GRC.
All right. I want to say, Ursula said Pacific has reached a critical mass from a troubled network situation and a network from where station managers were deciding whether to affiliate or align with us to what? To what Dina says is more a more balanced contributor or participant on the national front, right?
Well, I think that there's a sense that Pacifica is a network that has something to offer and that is there's a value to belonging to it. It's a relevant network now. And one of the things that Ginny Bearson, who's she's actually the conference organizer, she stood up and kind of startled us all with a speech about how Pacifica should figure out how to become an emergency communication service, how we should use our network to communicate a national emergency effectively, which kind of jolted everybody out of their seats. But, you know, she's right in a way. But the fact that she perceived the network as having that potential was really telling. There's also, you know, a sense now that now that we have almost 100 stations in a network that, like I said, that the station can be used for something. I mean, the network can be used for something that we actually have the potential to accomplish something beyond just, you know, distributing programs. And, you know, this emergency system idea was one idea. Another idea that seemed to be growing out of all this was the idea of some campaigns to raise consciousness about community radio, campaigns to encourage people to build new licenses since there will be a window opening up, mm-hmm. and to to use the network to try and have an impact on the next presidential election. So there was, these were all ideas that, you know, were expressed by people as they, you know, visualized the impact of a network of these many community radio stations together. So it was really a vision of using what we have to impact the people's thinking. It was a vision of using the network we have to create more community radio stations and also to develop communication systems that might be necessary in emergency. And so it was interesting that, you know, this was what I saw people beginning to think of, not, you know, instead of the old thoughts of like, well, is Pacifica going to implode or these type of concerns. These were really, you know, visions people had of what we can do with this kind of a network. So it was a very exciting meeting. There, people came away, and like Dina said, Greg did very well. There was very much the perception that I got from everybody that I spoke with, and I've also been getting emails after the meeting from people who were there and also who heard about it from other people. There was a sense that the transition that Pacifica has made to a new executive director has, you know, found, people have found it favorable. They feel good about it and are ready to work with us, with Greg as the executive director. So his presentation was very well received.
Okay.
At the meeting. And like Dina said, Rip and Yvonne did a very good job at running the meeting, and I did some presenting. Pete Caracas did some presenting, and Dina did as well. And I want to thank Dina for her work.
Oh, I sure wish that Yvonne and Rip were on this
this
call to actually give their impressions of how it was received and what it was like to deliver it.
Yeah. Well,
c'est la vie.
C'est la vie, right?
Well, maybe we'll have to have them give their impressions on the next call, too.
Right.
I would like to just add one more aspect, which is there was a brand new sign that Pete made for the booth, and it was really, I thought it was very powerful and looked really good. On the downside, I would like to recommend that there be a budget so that we can hand out CDs or other promotional items that be planned ahead of time. We know NFCB is happening a year from now, and it would be nice to be able to plan how to market effectively you know, Pacifica, because that's what that's what the conference is about.
Let me just describe. I just have a few points of things I want to describe about what happened at the conference.
Uh-huh.
And I agree about the booth. The booth, this year we had a very, very good location, which was very nice. We were
it
in
was
the
a
middle
great
of
location.
The booth area. So we were really the most prominent booth, and we were standing in front of a square column, and on the other side of the column was Pacifica Radio Archives booth, and they also had some very nice banners, so we kind of made a complete unit, which was pretty awesome. And, you know, the PRA attracted a lot of attention with the stuff they had on their booth, and then they sent the people to us, which was a good way to work. I agree with Dina, the banner was great, but she's absolutely right. We didn't have anything except brochures, and it was pretty pathetic. People, and we had some nice flowers, and we were nice.
What was
people.
Pathetic?
Well, it was kind of pathetic that we didn't have
anything to give
out. You know, and people kept coming and saying, "Well, you know, doesn't Pacific have anything to give us?" And we
give
really
me some
didn't.
Training on AudioPort.
We really didn't have. We didn't even have internet connection, so we couldn't do that. So.
Mm-hmm.
So Dina is absolutely right, and that's why I'm glad at least you're on this call, Sean, because this is something that I thought about you a great deal, you know, at the conference, and how this is something that you and I, you know, I really look forward to coming back and working with you on this.
Okay.
At the conference, I did have a talk with Pacifica Radio Archives, and Brian agreed to make CDs for us for next year, so that was
good.
Let me just finish describing the aspects of the workshop, and the conference,
right.
and I'll shut up. Mm-hmm. Pacifica presented, as far as I know, 3 workshops. I participated in a workshop on sister station relations, building sister station relations between all sorts of different radio stations, you know, and all different manifestations. Pete Karakas presented in a workshop about podcasting, and the Pacifica Radio Archives did a training for youth about using their
who gave the
archival
presentation?
Material.
Who?
Brian DeShea
Radio Archives. I think it was Brian and Sean, but I'm not sure. And then there was the affiliates meeting, which we've told you about.
Okay, and the archives presentation was just on youth or what?
It was a youth radio. It was a youth training workshop using archival material.
Youth training. You mean how they could? How?
You know, I wasn't at the workshop. You'll have to ask Brian because I didn't go to the workshop, so I don't know what exactly they did. I just know it was a training for the youth. There's a youth training component to the NFCV where they train young people.
About 250 youth come to it.
Okay.
Okay, then there was the affiliates meeting. I told you about that. And
did we say that we also had the presence of 3 managers and 1 program director, and who else was there from Pacifica staff?
Lonnie Hicks.
Lonnie
was
there
for half of the meeting. He left in the middle.
Right,
and then
we had a really good presence.
Right, and the Pacifica Radio Archives made a presentation at the meeting as well. Then in terms of other networks that we related to at the conference, there was Radio Bilingue, which is the Spanish network, the Native American network. The Radio Netherlands came and said they wanted to communicate with us more, that they wanted to meet with me. And they're actually here in New York, so that'll happen now. Then, of course, the Prometheus Project, NFCB, and this idea of a Northwest Alliance of radio stations forming in the Pacific Northwest. And like Dina said, Greg met with a lot of key people at the conference. I made a pretty full schedule for him, and he was very conscientious. He showed up whenever he was supposed to and stayed as long as people wanted to talk to him. He was extremely conscientious about, you know, and interested in meeting everybody, and made a very good impression on everybody that I could tell.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I kind of saw him surrounded by a lot of women at several points. And Friday was is the largest.
Cat's out of the bag. He's eligible.
Yeah.
Now the
Friday,
whole nation knows.
Friday is the biggest day of the conference, and on that day, Pacifica sponsored the lunch. Mm-hmm. And so Greg gave a speech at the lunch, and it was very well received. And at the beginning, there was a little bit of trouble because the sound system wasn't very good, and so people at the back of the room were talking through his speaking because they were having trouble understanding it. And Donna DeBianco, who's the operation manager from our affiliate in Olympia, Washington, she jumped up on stage and yelled at everybody and told them to listen to Greg, and they did after that. It was great. And but people really, really liked his speech very much. I got a lot of good feedback about that. And and then at the end of the conference, on Saturday, Amy Goodman spoke and had a very, very positive response to her speech. And she actually really took the trouble to speak well of Pacifica and the affiliates program to a great extent. So that was very helpful. And we out of the conference, I would say we potentially will get about 5 new affiliates, 5 or 6 new affiliates. And one of them is kind of cool. It's a little African-American low-powered radio station in Port Arthur, Texas, which was very hard hit by the Katrina. thing, and so that was kind of cool to connect with them.
Okay.
And actually, I've been reading about them on the web, and they're a pretty interesting group of people. They have a lot of, you know, they have a lot of information.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing that's kind of interesting, this is like a little side thing, but the woman who had a booth across the way from us is a woman who, if you donate a car to, how does that work, Dina? Do you remember? It's like
she takes donated cars and,
right, and
gives them to nonprofits, and nonprofits can sell them, and they get the money.
Right. So
she
it's a way of fundraising for the station.
Right. She gets a percentage of it for setting it up. A
right.
small
and
percentage.
Right. So what she said to me is that if I would facilitate this to the affiliates, she would give the affiliates, she would give Pacifica affiliates program a cut of the percentage. So it
so
might,
for every
you know,
car sold.
Yeah. So it might actually, you know, be a relatively modest but nonetheless real source of revenue for the affiliates program. So that's kind of nice.
Well, we've done that at our station.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
You've done what?
The donation.
We've taken
car donations.
Car donations.
Yeah.
And you've sold them?
Mm-hmm. Yes. You take the car and it goes to auction, and then the person, I think, gets a tax write-off for what it sells for. Now, there are other organizations that actually fix them up, and you get it. So if it sells for a higher price, you actually get a tax credit for a higher amount
mm-hmm.
for your donation. So there are different ways of doing it.
Mm-hmm.
But let us know how that goes if you decide to follow through on that.
Yeah.
Anything else?
Then there were really just like two big ideas that came out of the conference. And I want to talk about those in a minute, but I want to stop for a minute and first of all make sure that Sean is still on the phone.
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, good. and just kind of pause for a minute if there's any questions or, you know, anything like that before I move on. Doesn't sound like it. So
hearing
I'll just
none. Go ahead.
I'll just describe real briefly the two biggest ideas that came out of the conference. One was that I was approached. There's this thing that's been happening around the country where community radio stations want to organize themselves on a regional basis, and it's been going on for a while. And there's been some models, some have been some more successful than others, but there's a lot of radio stations in the Northwest Pacific area, and they want to organize what they call the Northwest Network, and it basically would be a network of community radio stations located in Northwest United States and Southwest Canada, and so they're really into doing that, and they came to me and they said, well, we would really like to do this, you know, with Pacifica, not without Pacifica. And one of the main reasons being is, well,
Vajra.
Hey, Vajra.
Hey.
Hi, Vajra.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, Vajra.
Hey.
We're reporting on the NFCB right now, and Ursula is talking about one of two very important ideas that came out of the NFCB. And we are being streamed. On the phone are Ursula, Teresa, Sean, Dina, and Vajra. Thank you for coming in.
And Roger, we just got done describing the conference, so you might want at some point to listen to it, because I think
okay.
It was an exciting conference this year, and you know, it was just it was a lot of great things happened. But anyway, so what I was saying was that there is this tendency for stations, for community radio stations, to want to organize themselves regionally. And so the stations in the Pacific Northwest, both Canada and the United States have kind of formed a coalition, and they're exploring how they can work together as a network. And they don't really want to do this as something that's competing with Pacifica. They want to do it more as a complement or an addition to Pacifica. And so what they said to me was, first of all, one of the main things they want to do is exchange programs. Especially because one of the hottest ideas associated with these networks is the desire to do regional news, which is actually a really great thing if stations start to work together to develop regional news. And so they want to be able to share sound. And they don't want to have to build, you know, the facility to do that because they know how much work that is, so they would like to use audio ports for that. And they also politically feel that it would be better to support the Pacifica network instead of compete with it. So after the conference was over, and this is one more thing I want to say about the conference. I forgot. I stayed for 2 days longer in Portland, both Dina and I did, and spent a lot of time at KBOO. And I don't know if those of you on the call know KBOO, but KBOO was one of our first affiliates back in the day. And left us during the struggle and have stayed away from us, you know, with a vengeance. So it was very big for us to spend so much time with KBOO and to feel so much affinity for them. Dina and I spent a whole day at the station, and I spent the next day there, too. And there's a very good chance that, you know, eventually that they will come back to Pacifica. They do take Democracy Now. And it is a big thing because historically it's meaningful, and also because KBOO is really the most, you know, influential station in the Pacific Northwest because of its level of effectiveness and resources that it has. So anyway,
we met with 8 people when we were there for 2 hours.
They grilled us.
And the only other thing to remind everybody is that when they left Pacifica, they did it in solidarity. In other words, they left as a protest to what was happening. They never thought, at least those board members that spoke to us, never thought they were leaving forever. They just were leaving as a protest.
Yeah. So anyway, after that, I went up to Seattle to speak with the people that were working on this alliance, this network, and. The main motivators behind this network is a group called Reclaim the Media, which is a media advocacy group in Seattle, and KBCS, which is an affiliate station of ours in Seattle, and also a relatively strong station, although their license is a little bit dicey, but in terms of an organization, they're very strong and their ability to train people, and we met in the back of an espresso shop in Seattle. It was very cool. And basically, we talked about how to do this because a lot of the stations in the Northwest Network are not Pacifica affiliates and aren't necessarily interested in doing that. So we came up with this plan that Pete would build an aspect of the audio port which would allow them to use that part of the audio port, which is called the electronic workroom, which is just basically a place to store sound. I think both Sean and Vajra, you are very familiar with that, and so they wouldn't actually have access to downloading programs from the audio port like an affiliate would, but they would be basically able to use the electronic workroom so that they could share sound with each other, and so it would be a new type of affiliate where a network would affiliate with Pacifica instead of a radio station, and have, you know, these limited privileges, and as part of the contract we would make, they would agree to encourage their stations to affiliate with Pacifica, and that at a certain point, this issue would be revisited. You know, they would, within a year or half a year, we would, you know, have opportunity to discuss, you know, the possible affiliation of members of the network. So, so they were kind of, you know, positioning themselves as a new level of outreach for Pacifica, in a sense, and in a way, it's a really exciting idea because it's kind of the next level of organizing for us. And what, you know, by people organizing on a regional level, what they're doing is they're making it easier to share resources. The stronger stations can help the weaker stations.
They're partnerships.
Yeah, it's an easier way to generate news, which is especially important during election time, and it's also a way of introducing Pacifica affiliation to stations, you know, through neighbors instead of through the long kind of reach that I have coming from somewhere else, you know. So it has potential for being kind of the next level of organizing for the Pacific Affiliates Program and for community radio. So it was really kind of exciting. I wanted to tell you about it. It does mean that the work group of this task force that has been assigned to develop new types of affiliations will work with the people in Seattle to come up with a model. And then Yvonne Dooley, who is interested in doing outreach in the South, is interested in using that as a model to do outreach to Southern stations to bring them into affiliation. So it's kind of using local connections in a more using them more to assist the whole network.
Rip Robbins.
Hey, Rip.
Hi, Ursula.
Hi.
Hi, Rip. It's Dina.
Oh, hi, Dina.
So Rip, your KSVR is going to be part of the Northwest Network, right?
I suppose we are. What's that?
Have you been in communication with them about it?
Yeah, it's with KBSC. In Bellevue. His name, but we talked to him, and Joe, our media guy, was at the meeting on Thursday in Portland with them.
Uh-huh.
I mean, we'll participate in whatever they want to do. Sure.
Right. So I was just explaining to the other people in the group how I met with them in Seattle after the conference.
Oh.
And we've kind of come up with a model to have the Northwest Network affiliate with Pacifica as a network, because some of the stations involved with the network aren't Pacifica affiliates, so that they could use the electronic workroom of the audio port.
Mm.
And then they would, in a way, act to encourage their stations to affiliate with Pacifica. So in a way, they would be acting as another form of outreach for Pacifica.
Hmm. Interesting. Yeah.
So we had a great meeting in Seattle where we talked about that, and there was really a sense that this could really work well as a model.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I did speak today with our lawyer John Krigler, and he said that he thought that was fine, and he was prepared to help us figure out a contract that would make that happen.
That's great.
So that's one thing I wanted to tell you guys about, because I think it shows that the audio port has really kind of reached a point where it has become a motivating factor for people to affiliate with Pacifica.
Mm-hmm.
And has really become recognized as a real tool for community radio. And it's also, kind of a sign that people feel that this network is worth working with and supporting. So it was really, really kind of a win-win thing,
Mm-hmm.
And
a lot of individual producers came up to us and wanted to get into audio port. And
yeah.
we
yeah.
told them that they had to get their stations to affiliate in order to do that.
Sure.
So that's a big selling point.
Oh,
really
I would think
so,
yeah.
Yeah, it really is. And I get about 3 emails a week by now from stations saying, we'd really like to use audio port. Talk to us about affiliation. So the audio port has kind of crossed some sort of, point where it really does have
it's
a reputation.
It's the hook.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The other thing
I wanted to I'm sorry, Rip.
No, well, I was just going to say that people were comparing PRX and AudioPort and looking at the two models for the fees. And, I was talking to somebody at one point saying, well, we just pay one annual fee and then we get to use anything that's on the AudioPort, and there's no extra charges. So, I think it's good to have a different model than PRX. PRX, people are always thinking about how much it costs to download this or that, and it adds up over a year, quite a bit.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I think we definitely kind of were cooler this year.
Yeah, right.
It was a good feeling.
Yeah.
So the other thing I want to tell you about, and I don't want to go on and on, but I really feel
Ursula?
That Yeah.
Could you maybe give Rip an opportunity right now to give his impressions of his presentation and the reaction?
Absolutely.
As part of
Hi,
the
Teresa.
NFCB. Hi, how are you?
Good.
So I'm taking minutes. So
okay.
We were talking about the NFCB, and
yeah.
I'd like you to talk about your experience there and what was the reaction to the presentation for the affiliates.
Well, I can tell you that compared to recent years, this year was dramatically different. Ursula probably even has a better perception, but you're asking for mine, and I'll tell you that in past years, it did seem like there was a lot more controversy in the room, more tension in the room, a lot more quizzing going on with the ED. And I'm just talking about the most recent years, because, of course, before that, it was really a bizarre situation in the room with the corporate folks in there, but just compared to the last couple years, for instance, when Greg gave his report and then asked for questions, there actually weren't any, and it's not because people weren't interested. It's because I really believe they heard from him a reasonable summary of what is going to be taking place, and felt confident that something good was in the works. And when I talked about the task force and the different work groups that we've developed on here, really there was an interest in participating. So it was an interest in seeing what we were drafting. I talked just a little bit as far as what the work groups had already done, and it really seemed as though people were satisfied. And to me, that's a mood that's different than what I had sensed in the room, just being an affiliate present in the room in past years. So I would say it was a good reaction, and that people are feeling finally a lot more comfortable with the direction that Pacific is taking, and especially with regard to the affiliates.
And can I just add one more recommendation for next year for NFCB? I had said that we needed a budget for our booth, but it's also clear that if Ursula is wherever the conference is, that a budget to do outreach in the area, to stay a few more days and go to stations in the area, is very important.
Mm-hmm.
She did it this year. We went to KBOO, and then she went on up to Seattle and further north. But that was sort of very last minute. It wasn't well thought out. My recommendation is that a week be added on and that outreach be planned in the area. Next year, the conference is going to be in New Orleans, and it would be a great opportunity for us to get into those southern states and to work with Yvonne on that
mm-hmm.
and
well,
to plan it.
I agree. Ursula, you didn't come up and see me.
Okay,
I know. I'm sorry, Rip.
I know we
you
just spent 3 days. Oh, I was farther north, yeah. That's
you know what happened? I got food poisoning in Seattle, and
oh
my
God.
Gosh.
Oh, jeez.
Poor, what's his name? Bruce Worth. He had a sick person in his house.
Oh, jeez.
So, Ursula, did you want to go on to your second point that you were making? That you said there were two concepts that came
yeah.
out that sprung from that. From the NFCB. One was the regional organizing concept, and what was the other one?
Well, I'm not sure if the people on this phone call are aware of this or not, but the Greg Uma allocated funds for us to join into a partnership with the Prometheus Project and the NFCB and this other advocacy group called Reclaim the Media. We kind of have a coalition going to work on encouraging people to try to get full power station licenses, because the FCC is going to be opening a window in what looks as like it's going to be about a year and a half. And this is kind of this is actually a very big event. It is probably the last of the non-commercial licenses. Probably this is going to be the last time around. That there are any available. The religious right is highly organized and prepared to to get every single one of those licenses.
Ron Z.
That... Who is that?
Kalonji, forgive me. Just
welcome, Kalonji. I'll remind everybody, #1 is the way to mute.
Yes, no problem. I just got in.
Hi, Kalonji.
Hi.
So anyway, it's actually a very big deal because this is kind of the last of the licenses. And so we have helped pay for a study that was done to figure out where all the remaining frequencies are in the country. The guys who did this had these really cool maps that were set up at the NFCB. They had a booth with all these maps, and you could go and you could look at the maps, and then you could like have them look up whatever community you wanted, and they could tell you how many frequencies were available. It was very, very cool. And so anyway, this study has been made, and Pacifica helped to pay for it. We gave $2,000 towards it. And now Greg has allocated another $1,000 for outreach to help with this campaign. So Pete Caracas and I met with the Prometheus Project and the NFCB and Reclaim the Media at a long meeting that went till midnight to talk about how to start this campaign. And it's kind of hard to articulate how big this is, but it really is very big, and it's big because it puts Pacifica back into its proper role as being one of the leaders of building community radio in this country. This was our initial role. We initiated community radio, and this is kind of like the last time around for this, And so it's very big for us to be involved with this and to kind of claim our natural role as leaders in this. And there are some people throughout the network, affiliates, who are very eager to work with us on this. They are ready to rock, and I'm not exaggerating. They are champing at the bit because they really want to do a campaign, to spread the influence of this network. And they are very eager to work with whoever in this task force wants to work with them. They just really want to get busy on this. And so it's an exciting thing, and I think that it can be built into what amounts to not only a media advocacy campaign, it also is a public relations campaign, and it's also a great, great way to form work relations together with the NFCB and Prometheus Projects, who are two organizations right now that are really on the forefront of media advocacy for community radio. And so we did get together. There's a website is being built for putting the information, basic information is being built right now, like talking points and the basic background information.
Who's doing that?
Well, Pete Tredish, the head of Prometheus Project, is doing the initial language for it. And I offered to do something, too, and I can't remember what it is. I have to check with him again once he's done that. So it's him to start with, and I'm sure that myself, I'll contribute to it, and I'm sure there'll be other people, too, that will want to work on this in terms of building language and building different types of messages to bring to different people. There was some brainstorming about how to do outreach. Everybody agreed that the outreach had to be done not only through large organizations like Move On or United for Peace and Justice or, the large groups and churches or whatever, but also, through the individuals, because we all know that radio is partly, based on, the radio geek that's living out in Nebraska. And, everybody knows of somebody somewhere who really wants a radio station, and we know that these people are important too. So it's both, like, it's kind of on both levels, and they're setting up a wiki on the website so that people can post when they've worked with a certain group, so that when other people, do outreach, they can check and make sure we're not duplicating efforts. So I don't want to go into great detail about this, but I want to tell you enough to make you understand that this is kind of like the beginning of a campaign that's being organized, and it's pretty important. I think that by the end of the day, it'll have meant a lot, And hopefully some people on this task force will have some interest in, you know, participating or at least, you know, paying attention to it, because it's...
So are you suggesting that we form a committee on the task force to work on this?
There actually is already. There is a work group. I don't think any of the people in that work group are on this call, but the outreach work group has formed a group around this, but I hope that with time that a few more people will come to it, because I think it's a very, very big thing. And
I'd like to say something about this. I think we have people from New York. We have people from D.C. on this call. Who else do we have? We have a West Coast represented at all? Okay.
Well, we have Rip.
I encourage everybody to really encourage participation at the Grassroots Radio Conference, because more Pacifica people and more affiliates that are not participating need to be encouraged to go, because I think just rubbing shoulders with different types of affiliates and different stations can give people an invigorating feel for how important this work is. So I should probably send the Grassroots information to the Affiliates Task Force, and do talk it up whenever you are talking to an affiliate that or a station that's thinking about affiliating, or Kalonji, try to encourage somebody. I don't know if anybody's been to Grassroots from WCFW, but it's really a wonderful experience, and it'll be in Madison. So they're just a great bunch of people, and they'll be coming from all areas of the United States. So do participate in that. That might be an excellent time to have people, develop some really hands-on plans and strategic planning for this kind of work.
Yeah, actually, I'm hoping to help organize some license-building clinics at the Grassroots Radio Conference, and to do outreach to encourage activists in the Midwest to come there to learn, because there's such a lack of radio stations in the Midwest. And this is kind of like an interesting fact that I learned that night that I didn't know, and I think it's kind of interesting to know that the people that help people get licenses and establish frequencies, they're called radio and consulting engineers. And their job is to help you get a license, which actually is a relatively involved process, I learned. And and in this country, there's only 3 of those people that work with community radio. Mm-hmm. So everybody that's community radio has worked with one of these 3 engineers. It's really interesting, and all 3 of them were at that meeting. They were kind of a bunch of characters. One of them is Don Mussel, which is our consulting engineer. And then there were 2 other guys who live in Portland. So that was just really interesting. They do all this work figuring out how to do the, how to find a frequency. But then when the FCC opens the window for applying, they only open the window for a week. And so all of a sudden, these 3 guys, they just for a week, they just never sleep, and they just process applications for a full week for, hundreds of radio stations. It's pretty wild. So it was kind of interesting. It's kind of an interesting thing to see how this really happens. And, and then after hopefully we can get some people to apply for these licenses, but then we also talked about building a way to build a support fund, because once people apply for licenses, it is pretty a sure thing that they will all be challenged by the religious right, who will also apply for those licenses. So then there'll be a prolonged period of fighting over who actually gets the license, which is called MXing for some reason. And so it's quite a process, and it's going to be quite a struggle, and it's really a fight for the last non-commercial frequencies in this country.
It's so, mutually excluded. Is it a shorthand for that? It means that.
Oh, is that what that is?
Well,
it
means they're both at I don't know, I mean, the word, if you think about the word, it doesn't actually mean what it's supposed to mean, but that's what MX is short for, is that mutually excluded, which means there's two applications and neither one gets it until they resolve their differences. And,
okay.
And really what's weird is the FCC will actually wait to and let the pressure build. It's kind of like a pressure cooker. And the two organizations in the area both know that they're in contention. And then the FCC sits back and waits to see if the two groups will work out a mutual agreement, which usually involves sharing time. And if neither group wants to do that, then eventually the FCC will get in. But first they kind of let you fight it out on your own.
You know, Ursula and I visited a station that had submitted an application, and the station submitted for an opening, and there were four other stations that were church-related, religious stations. And the FCC actually accommodated them while they consolidated their request into, I think, one. So I guess we've talked to some people that watched that happen firsthand. They were a little bit discouraged from watching the FCC do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be a pretty crucial process. Once we enter into that period, that's what's really going to be the most difficult period.
Well, how long is the total process from licensing?
It can. I don't know. Do you know, Rip? It can go on for years.
The ones that don't have a challenge to them, probably in about 6 months they're going to get an answer, and then they. Within the next 8 to 12 weeks, they'll get their license in them, or the construction permit, and then they get 3 years to build the station.
And this is like one of the reasons why the idea of regional networks is so powerful, because and also the idea of sister stations, because this is when it's really going to make a difference. If somebody has applied for a license. And they have a buddy, system set up with a group of people who have a station and who can mentor them. That's going to make the difference between them being able to withstand this process or not. And so this is where, the idea of a network begins to be very powerful. It actually turns out that... This new radio, this new affiliate we have in Port Arthur called KSAPLP, they actually went through this process. They went through an MX process. So if you're curious about it, maybe I'll send you a link. They have there's a description of what they went through. It's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'll send you a link to it.
Good.
All right.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Kalonji.
No, just saying. In thinking of groups that I know might be able to, that I know need a station, need some outlet. I'm just curious as to, I'll get the information in terms of starting them up and whatnot.
Exactly. That's what this website's going to be, is to generate that kind of information. Like how it happens, why you should, all that stuff. So it's real important to get that clear at this point.
Ursula,
yeah.
would you call Kalonji on your own and kind of talk to him about these groups and
sure.
Kind of brainstorm with him?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Kalonji?
I just wanted to also say, I just saw an email from Rob talking about wishing we could have a station in Chicago. And unfortunately, the largest metropolitan areas are not probably going to have any openings for full power non-commercial stations. And that's just kind of the way that things have gone. Things have already filled up. Mostly. Would you say, Ursula, that when you looked at the maps, I don't think there were any large cities that were left open?
No.
Yeah, not in my hometown of Ames, Iowa, has 60,000 people. It didn't even have any openings.
Right,
pretty
yeah.
Crazy.
So we are talking about more rural areas than
right.
In smaller cities.